Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that the right way to do it? Because obviously they got an eye for talent. Drew, you'd mentioned one. Mike Pinnell led the NFL in run stops for anybody who played over 20 steps. I'm like, boy, you know what? They didn't have a hard time against the run, but, you know, that's
Chargers
a stat that sounds out.
Chargers didn't run the ball, yeah.
Do you guys know which NFL player led the NFL in pressures last week? And, yeah, sure, guess some, you know, the normal ones, Gold, you're probably going to say, like, T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the guys you would expect.
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett. Totally normal guesses, guys.
No. The way you're framing this means that there's somebody that used to play for the Chiefs as well.
It's currently a Philadelphia Eagle. He'll come to town this week.
Beautiful.
The guy who led the NFL in pressures last week was Josh Uche.
No.
Do you remember Josh Uche?
I know the name.
He got brought in here when the Chiefs didn't have a pass rush. Random pass rusher could not get on the field. Couldn't get on the field over Felix and Udike Uzama. And he led the NFL in pressure rate last week. And I'm like, what is it about this team and pressure with four that seems to be such a mystery to them?
So this is a question probably for Spags or a coach. Like,
sure,
one
sure,
day, defense, like, yeah. Tyrann Mathieu would have been another good player to ask. He was on the show earlier. The Uche stuff last year, was there a disconnect between coach and front office? And what I mean by that is
that they brought him in.
I don't think Uche is a player that Spags likes and fits his scheme. I don't think it fits. And you're like, well, then why do they trade for him? Fair question.
Great question.
And that's
that'd be a question for Brett.
So I guess when you bring this up, like, I think he's probably a good scheme fit for the Eagles. Clearly he wasn't for Spags.
Yeah, he does like a different style. But like also, this goes to the adjustment part of the NFL. Are you looking at it wrong? Like if you're Spags. He's a great defensive coordinator. Have you not made this adjustment you need to? Is this the adjustment you need to make? Because as of right now, we are in two straight years of you not being able to consistently get, not two straight years, a year and a game, of not being able to consistently get pressure with the front four. You target the guys. You help them choose Jelani or Omar Norman Lott. You obviously brought back Mike Dana. You told him to bring in Nadi. Chris Jones is obviously great. But like, you're still not getting pressure with those four. It requires your genius of exotic blitzes in order to do it. At some point, the way you're using these guys in your scheme, is there a way to get more out of, in a pressure perspective, the guys you have on your roster? Or are you targeting not the right kind of defensive lineman for what you do defensively?
Somebody mentions, and this is something I saw as well, and I don't know if this has to do with Spags, and his like for the player getting in front and getting in the way, but I saw a lot of stuff about Nick Bolton. Again, it's like, man, Spags likes Nick Bolton too much. I think he's ignoring or he's looking past what we kind of saw and noticed last year, where the same thing kind of happened where Will Dissly is getting some plays made, or they got Bolton also covering Johnston or whatever, like coming across them, whatever the case is. Nick Bolton isn't, like, is that something also that might be hurting, just not beyond the defensive line, where Spags likes Nick Bolton enough where they brought him back, but it ignores the fact that he can't cover very well
passing,
and got exposed last season.
Passing situations, that is the biggest weakness, I think, in Nick Bolton. But I think what we're also seeing is when you already moved on from Justin Reed.
You need leader.
And you cannot also – this is, I think, why Nick Bolton ended up back with the team, too. Like, they could not lose Bolton and Reed. We thought there was miscommunication on Friday against the Chargers. And guys were in wrong spots and running into each other. Imagine if Steve Spagnuolo didn't have Nick Bolton there as well. And I know it's very easy to say, well, yeah, third down, he's terrible in coverage. I'm not disagreeing. But he's too valuable in other areas. So I think a lot of that is more of he still is the guy they trust to get everybody in the right spot. Even if this past week, one of the issues I thought was communication. But I think the frustration Nick Bolton, he didn't magically in the offseason become a great coverage linebacker as well. That's his weakness. That's an area where they can get exposed.
But they've also, in years where Nick Bolton's been on this team, gotten pressure with the front four two and 3 years ago. But
the Chargers didn't even try to run the ball. But in a game like this on Sunday, this is a game for Nick Bolton. This game on Sunday against Barkley, against the Tush Push, against Jalen Hurts, this is a Nick Bolton game.
I mean, especially because the reports are that Dallas Goedert might not play. Like, Goedert was a target machine the other day, and I'm just thinking of Bolton having to cover him, or you look at the other tight ends who they're going to have to play, and Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely if he's able to come back for the Ravens in that game. I mean, it just, that would be a little bit of a concern, where I understand all the stuff that he brings to the table, but in a moment that you might need him to cover a tight end, just looking at some of the tight ends who they're going to have to face in the division as well as everything else, it's something to pay attention to.
No, it is. It absolutely is. But we're going to see which way this goes here defensively. I would point out the same thing. I really think, and we'll hear from Tyrann Mathieu in a minute, it is so important to note that typically this defense starts slow and then finds its rhythm. You and I have just said that, unfortunately, they don't have quite that wiggle room
with
Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice and an offensive line that's trying to learn, and like, there's just so much going on. It's easier said than done in the like, well, we'll just make it work. Like, it doesn't, you know, it can't exactly work that way. So we'll see which way it goes. We'll see which way it goes. Because, again, that's a difficult thing and a difficult ask for the defense. This feels like such a huge swing game, like you said, emotionally. It's like, from a narrative perspective, they go out and beat the Eagles, a team that kicked their ass in the Super Bowl after losing their first game without Xavier Worthy, let's say.
Yeah,
everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, they're still pretty good, that team.
The same way I talked before the season, that if they would have started out, 2-0, it would have shut everybody up and done all these things. The reverse is potentially going to happen. If you go out and you start 0-2, it will only reinforce what the national narrative was after getting your butt kicked in the Super Bowl. But yeah, if you win on Sunday, everybody takes a deep breath from the fan base, national media says, wow, that was a pretty impressive win against Philly. In fact, it'll flip. If the Eagles, who did not look great against the Cowboys last week, in a win, they did win, that's all that matters to a certain extent. If they lose the Chiefs after the Chiefs look terrible against the Chargers, then the Eagles, all of a sudden, what you were saying earlier about how you view the Packers or the Commanders, then all of a sudden people are saying, are the Eagles a top two team in the NFC?
Yeah, they're like barely.
It's amazing how quickly things shift based on one game. There's a difference between what we think the fans need, feel, and the vibes, and what the team is. If the team starts 0-2, look, it's obviously not great. It puts you in a really bad spot from a division, from a seeding perspective. But I don't think we suddenly should think that this team is only winning 9 games.
Unless
or
they get their ass kicked, and then
but
we
it's
might
the nuance
start being,
of it. Yeah, it's the nuance of it. Do they win?
They lose 30-7.
Or do they lose? Yeah, do they lose on a last second Jake Elliott 64-yard field goal when the Mahomes and the offense look good or the defense look good? And like, that sucks. But it's like, okay. Or do they lose where they score 10 points and the defense can't get a single stop? They lose 28-10, which. In the Mahomes era, that's been pretty rare. It's basically been the Bucs game and the Eagles game, and that's about it, losing a game like that. But you get my point. Yeah, I think
one
nuance
regular
always matters. Do we see improvement and they just lose a tough game, or is it just a clear performance like they just had against the Chargers where it's like, man, they were slow out of the gate, and the Eagles can do whatever they want, and the Chiefs are playing come from behind, and Patrick Mahomes has to play hero ball. And all. If it's that again, then it's a different vibe.
Very different.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.